Hey there, I'm so pumped to tell you about an amazing new community I've launched called Grief to Growth Circle Community. It's a space for people who are grieving to come together to support each other and for people who want to know who we are, why we're here, and where we're going to have those conversations, all the things we talk about on the podcast. So I invite you to join me at grieftogrowth.com/community to become part of this compassionate crew. The best part is 100% free. And you have access to me in addition to everybody else in the community. In fact, the podcast will be there so you can talk about the things we talk about in the podcast right there in the community. There's also some premium content if you want to go deeper in the work I'm doing, but mostly it's about building relationships and community and about sharing resources and supporting each other. So come on over and check it out. It's grieftogrowth.com/community. I'll see you inside.
Hi there. Welcome to Grief to Growth Podcast. Your host is Brian Smith, spiritual seeker, best-selling author, grief survivor, and life coach. Brian believes that the worst tragedies of life provide the greatest opportunity for growth. Brian says he was planted, not buried, and he is here to help you grow where you've been planted by the difficulties in life. In each episode, Brian and his guests will share what has helped them to survive and thrive. It is his sincere hope this episode helps you today.
Hey, everybody, this is Brian Smith back with another episode of Grief to Growth. And today I've got with me, my guest is Lisa Jones. And I have listened to Lisa on her podcast, Experiencing Death, and just met Lisa last week. And we're connected here, so we're going to do an interview. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce Lisa, and then we'll just have a conversation. Lisa had a transformative shared death experience. She expresses her passion for life by exploring death. She's an author, a speaker, and she's the host of the Exploring Death podcast, which she's kind of moved on from that now to the real ones, and we'll talk about the real ones. Lisa's had the privilege to work with groups and individuals, business leaders, entertainers, and fellow spiritual seekers. She brings refreshing clarity and honesty to a challenging subject. She seeks to use her gifts to give encouragement, comfort, and inspiration to a culture that has hidden death and dying from view. And I'm really excited to welcome Lisa to Grief to Growth. So thanks for being here, Lisa.
Thanks, Brian, for having me. I'm really excited to have a conversation with you today.
Yeah, me too. I got to tell you, I listened to Exploring Death for quite a while. I never heard the story behind Millionaire Medium. I've always wondered, where did that come from? So let's start with that. What is Millionaire Medium?
Okay, well, interestingly, it's part of my story. And so I don't know if you want me to just tell my shared death experience as well. Yeah.
Well, first tell us what a shared death experience is, because I think a lot of people, we've all had our near-death experiences, but I don't know if people know what a shared death experience is.
Right. So a shared death experience, which I didn't even know until, I don't know, when I found out the term of this, because I didn't even know what this was that happened. But basically, it's when you accompany someone who's passing away to the other side and either have an out-of-body experience or some sort of transformational spiritual experience with that. And so my husband had been sick for 7 years with cancer. And on the night that he died, I actually left my body. I was in another room asleep. He was in our master bedroom. And all I know is that I left my body and I entered into what, for lack of a better word, is I call heaven. And mm-hmm. It was just the most amazing experience of reality. It was more real than anything that I've experienced on this earth. And it was just absolute beauty and love, unconditional love. There were souls and beings just all around. And they were all scurrying about, gathering together in this kind of a, I guess it would be called a courtyard, for lack of a better word. And there was an announcement, the grand mystery in Sharp is about to arrive. And then there were trumpets and banners, and there was just this excitement. And Ian Sharp was my husband, and he, like I said, was laying in the master bedroom with his brother and best friend. It was the first time I'd had anybody with me I'd been taking care of him by myself, and they did come at that final day. And so anyway, I was with two angels, and they were just showing me, you know, where he was going to be welcomed. And all of a sudden this giant door started to open, and everybody turned and looked at that exact moment. And he started to walk in. All I saw was like maybe a foot coming through, and everybody just started cheering and, oh my God, he's here. He's here. And right at that moment, I didn't see his face or anything, but it was like a trap door just opened, and I fell back into my body. It was almost like, I mean, it was like a physical, like that falling experience in a dream. And then, you know, I woke up with my brother-in-law knock, knock, knock on my door. And that's what opened the trap door. And I just was like, oh my God, oh my God. Like I saw where he was going. And it was really shocking to me because I was raised very religiously and he hadn't been baptized. So I thought he was going to hell. I had no idea that, you know, you could go to heaven and not be baptized. So, yeah, it completely shifted my entire thinking about religion and all of that. So the Millionaire Medium name came from, I went in to see him and, you know, of course I could tell that it was just his shell and he was no longer there. And so that morning the kids were, had slept, not in our home that night. They were with grandma, so I was getting ready to go and tell them. And as I was getting ready, I just was like, oh my God, what am I going to say? And there was Ian's voice right in my left ear, clear as a bell. And he's like, oh my God, Lisa, I love you, but it is so beautiful here. And I was like, or no, he said it was so awesome here. That was the word, awesome. And I was like, oh my God. So that was the beginning of my mediumship, as he opened that door for me. And from then on, you know, I was able to talk to angels and I mean, just all of this spiritual door opened for me. And I was a certified public accountant. So I was like, what is happening? And very religious, not spiritual. Like I didn't understand about angels or anything like that. So, and then the other thing I found out the following day as well is that, I knew he had had some life insurance, but because he was an executive for the company he worked for, they had a life insurance policy on a multi-million dollar life insurance policy. So I didn't know that. So all of a sudden there I am, I'm a millionaire and a medium the day after my husband died. And my guides told me to use that name, when I started doing my work.
Wow. That's wild. So, I've heard of, there's a project called the Share Crossing Project. Have you heard about that? But people can kind of prepare to hopefully try to have an experience like this, but you had done nothing to prepare for this. It just kind of happened spontaneously.
It was a total, total spontaneous. And actually I've been interviewed, by the Shared Crossings Project and they've got three or four of my stories in there. In fact, most recently, Ram Dass, who lived here on Maui and I was friends with here, passed away and he did a spiritual drive-by, the day that he passed, which completely caught me off guard.
Oh, wow.
And I had taken a nap. It was weird. It was a Sunday and I don't normally nap, but all of a sudden I was like, wow, I just need to lay down for a little bit. And then as soon as I woke up, I just felt his energy come by. It was almost like a, you know, like a drive-by, a car or something energy right into me. And I was like, whoa, Ram Dass, what is happening? And I had no idea, but that's the exact time that he had passed away. So it's amazing. I keep having these experiences. I had one with my mom and my dad as well when they passed. So,
oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So you're just open to anybody drives by. Huh?
I know. I think it's a good question because I know, people can kind of prepare themselves. The one thing I did read the book Final Gifts, which is a hospice written by hospice nurses. And that really, it was the first time that I had the understanding that when people are passing, that there's kind of a thinning of the veil and that, you know, they might actually be seeing spirit from the other side. So I think at least I was attuned to that idea, but again, it just spontaneously happened.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey there, something I want to tell you about today. My podcast platform, Buzzsprout, has recently made it easier for me to allow you to support me financially. Go to www.grieftogrowth.com/subscribe. That's grief2growth.com/subscribe. And once you're there, you can sign up to support me financially. Now, you can do it for as little as $3 a month or, of course, as much as you'd like. If you do that, you'll get access to bonus episodes, and you'll see those in the regular feed. They'll have a lock on them. But when you become a subscriber, you'll actually get access to your own private feed, and you'll be able to listen to the regular podcast along with the bonus podcast for the subscribers. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for sharing the podcast. And I want to thank those of you who support me financially. Have a great day, and on to the episode. So how did you square this with your religious background when you see heaven and your husband, who you presumed wasn't going to heaven, how did that affect you?
Yeah, well, I ended up walking away from my religion. I was raised Lutheran, and then I don't know if it's converted, but I became Episcopalian, which again, they aren't hardcore, you know, they're not like super,
right.
But yeah, it was interesting. It just made everything that I felt like I was taught just not the truth anymore, because I had this direct experience. And, so yeah, I had to walk away, which was hard because that was my community. And, so I've had to really find my own way, and actually moving to Maui 3 years ago, I feel like I found my spiritual home. People here are much more open and embracing of the idea of, you know, spirit on the other side and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a whole different experience here.
So where were you living at the time when your husband passed?
We were in Connecticut. You're in Connecticut.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, that's when people transition, it shakes up our lives just normally. If we don't have an experience like that. And a lot of times it creates conflict in our current community, especially if a deeply religious community. So for sure. Were you able to share this experience right after it happened? Because a lot of people, they hold on to these things inside for a very long time.
Right. Well, it's interesting because I did talk about it, and, but again, I didn't realize the impact, or that it was even something. I hadn't ever read anything about near-death experiences.
Oh, really?
No. I mean, okay. It was probably 5 years after his death that I think somebody had recommended the book. I don't know if it was Proof of Heaven by Aben Alexander, or there was also one that a little boy had written.
And, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I forget the title of that one, but I think it was actually that book that I was reading it, and I almost fell off my chair because so much of what he talked about was what I experienced.
Yeah.
And I'm like, whoa, like this is, again, in my book when I wrote, it's like maybe a paragraph and a half, because I didn't realize the gravity of it, really. It just was like, yeah, this thing happened and it totally changed everything for me. But, you know, I didn't know that people were interested in it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you, at this point you became a medium.
Yeah. So what happened was, so I had I had written my book, and then, I went back to the accounting world. I was actually working for a hedge fund, and you know what it was, Brian? It was when I turned 44, my husband died when I was 37, he was 44. And as I was approaching my 44th birthday, I suddenly had an aha moment of like, oh my God, I'm going to live longer than my husband. And the one thing that he told me about a week before he died was that he regretted his career choice. Mm-hmm. He said, wow, I really wish I had helped more people while I was on this planet. He said, all I did was move numbers around on pieces of paper. He was a tax attorney.
Okay.
And so that just hit me like a ton of bricks as I was approaching my 44th. And I'm like, I don't want to sit here and move numbers around on pieces of paper. And meanwhile, my friends knew that I talked to angels and things. And so they would email me and I would send them, you know, messages. Mm-hmm. And so as soon as I quit, my guides were saying, you got to quit the hedge fund. You got to quit the hedge fund. And I was very resistant because I was getting paid such great money, and, you know, it just was hard to step away. But as soon as I did, like, all these doors opened. I was asked if I wanted to have my own stage show. I was asked to do a radio show just outside New York. Mm-hmm. I was the Monday morning medium.
Oh, wow.
And and then I even went into talks to have a television show, but that's when my mom passed away, and that just took me out. I was really grief stricken when she went.
Yeah. Now, are you able to connect with your mother?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I talked to her all the time, but you know, there's something, you know, and I think that was part of it. There was almost some shame on my part. Like, here I am, I'm able to connect to people to the other side. And yet I was so devastated when my mom passed that I felt like, how can I help other people when I can't even help myself? And it was, I mean, maybe you can speak to this about the grief, you know, because it was so different. Like, when my husband died, it was just a different experience than when my mom died. And I think she's had my back. I was adopted as a baby, so I feel like she was my savior almost, you know, and when she left, she was my rock when my husband was sick, you know? So again, it just was really, it just devastated me.
Yeah. Well, every grief experience is different. It's because every relationship is unique. So we can't really say, you know, whether it's a spouse or a parent or a child. It just, it depends on that relationship that you have.
Yeah.
And I think it's really interesting that when people can connect with the other side, that you still have to go through the grief process. Because I think some people say, well, I wish I was a medium, then I could just sit and talk to them every day. And then I wouldn't be having all the grief that I have. But none of us gets to get out of here without going through that.
That's exactly right. And I think that was what I was putting on myself. I'm like, but I can talk to her. So why am I so grief stricken? Why can't I move forward? You know, and that's exactly it. I don't think I gave myself the grace of like, wow, you know, this was really, really hard. And just be able to, you know, grieve go through the process of really experiencing that. So, you know, and I've worked on it. I mean, I couldn't even talk about it before. I mean, it was just like,
yeah.
But, it's been 6 years now. And like I said, I'm in communication with her all the time. She's always mm-hmm. saying hello and connecting and showing me she's around.
Well, it's great. I'm not a medium, so I don't have that thing. But I tell people, I talk to my daughter who passed away in 2015. I talk to her all the time. I mean, every day, literally. I talk to her more than I talk to my daughter that's still physically here. But it's not the same as having her here.
Right.
So, physically, because we're still physical beings. And we still like that face-to-face. And we still want the hug. And we still want to be able to eat pizza with them and all those types of things that we did together. So there's still something missing, even though we might still have that spiritual connection.
I think that's exactly right. And I think that was, even though we were in physically different places, we talked on the phone, you know, at least daily. And just to be able to have that, even though it wasn't really physical, but it's that vocal, physical hearing somebody's voice and understanding and really getting their perspective and all of that, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. So, so you moved on from the Millionaire Medium and you did the show Exploring Death, which is where I got to know you. You didn't know me, but I was one of your listeners. So tell us about Exploring Death and what that was about.
Yeah, well, it was so interesting because when I moved to Maui, I knew I wanted to do a podcast. And and I thought with the Millionaire Medium, I really wanted to bridge the gap between corporate and consciousness or spirituality, because in my work, I mean, I used to have CEOs walk up to me because they'd heard my story and they'd be like, gosh, my dad died and he comes to me in a dream and I don't know what to do. Or, you know, I saw a vision of him. And so I feel like there's all of this spiritual stuff happening in the corporate world that nobody really wants to acknowledge or talk about. But I guess because I was a CPA and people knew me as that corporate person, they felt comfortable, you know, talking to me. So I really thought, wow, there's something here, but it really didn't go anywhere. And so when I came to Maui, I was asked to actually speak to the IAMS group, International Association of Near-Death Studies. And I'd never heard of it. I didn't know what it was, but then I got a great reception and then I was asked if I wanted to be the co-leader. And that is what opened the door to Exploring Death, because then I was helping bring in speakers that had been near-death experiencers, and I started running the support group for near-death experiencers. And every time I would speak to someone or hear someone's story, it would bring in another puzzle piece to my experience. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I thought my shared death experience was just like this kind of random, you know, little asterisk or something in my life, but it suddenly started blossoming and blooming. And then I went to the first conference, the IANS conference 2 years ago, where I met, again, my tribe of people that have experienced this, and it just really opened the door. So then I was like, I couldn't get enough. So then I started my Exploring Death podcast and got to interview all the top people, you know, Suzanne Giesman and Evan Alexander and just all these amazing people, and got to share their stories.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the show. And then you, from that evolved into The Real Ones, which is your current project.
Right. Yeah, the Exploring Death was about 2.5 years. And then I just decided in March, actually just before the COVID thing took off, that I decided to stop doing that podcast. And my best friend, Golden Duffy, and I started The Real Ones, which is basically us just being authentically real about, you know, energy and helping people manifest and how to tap into the divine wisdom and channel things like that. So yeah, we're just having so much fun. And that's our goal, is just to follow our joy and help people along the way. Cause she and I used to call each other all the time when we were having issues, and we would, you know, channel stuff or talk each other through it. We're like, we should share this with the world, you know, mm-hmm. and it's been really fun. We've just had so much fun.
So you when you channel things, what are you channeling? What type of things are you channeling?
Well, one of the things that we're doing right now is that if people feel stuck in their life, we mm-hmm. do a clearing. So we do a Zoom call. It's the two of us and them. And we record it. And they just tell us, we make them anonymous. So, because we share it with people. And they just tell us where they're stuck in their life. And so mm-hmm. we just feel the energy of what's going on. And then we bring in the divine, we bring in the angels and their, you know, their guides, and just, we just channel whatever clearing they need. A lot of times there's, you know, chakra clearings and things like that happen. And mm-hmm. then just bring in this divine dispensation. And we've heard, I mean, people are just having amazing shifts in their life, and it's been fun.
So the real ones, you have a podcast and a Facebook group, I believe, right?
Yeah, we have a Facebook group. And then we also have a YouTube channel where mm-hmm. we give a little extras before and after, because we do the Facebook lives, and then, yeah, podcast. So, okay. Yeah.
And I was listening to you, Dan Golden, this morning, and I heard you guys talking about manifesting.
Yes.
So tell me what manifesting is about. How does that work? And can we all do that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, that's one of the things we love to talk about the most. We call ourselves the master manifestors, and we encourage people to, you know, learn to manifest their life, because really we believe that, you know, you're creating your life by every choice you make, by every thought you think. It's a vibration. And so when you're, depending on what you're thinking about, like if it's, you know, if you are sad or you know, feeling discouraged or upset, that's a vibrational level. And then the universe hears that vibration and then gives more of it to you. And that's why it's so important to, of course, feel the feelings. We definitely feel like for example, law of attraction sometimes is, you know, you got to always be up, up, up. Well, to me, because we are physical human beings, we have to feel our feelings. And if we don't feel them, that energy gets lodged in our physical body. Mm-hmm. And that's why Golden and I do these clearings, because you got to clear out that energy in order to allow new energy to come in. And so, yeah, so manifestation, it's just about being aware and, you know, again, being at the vibration of what it is you're trying to attract in your life. Because a lot of times, like if people want more money, if you're in that vibration of wanting, 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 mm-hmm. the universe is like, oh, they want more money. We'll just keep them in that vibration of wanting rather than actually receiving it. So the way to shift that is to not be in the wanting, but to imagine that you already have it. And it's kind of a acting as if. And to, you know, allow then that energy, the universe hears, oh, you know, they have that money. Okay. We're going to bring them more. And it sounds very simple. Obviously there's a lot more to it. Lots of moving parts.
How does the higher self play into that? Right. Because as humans, we always want an easy path. You know, we want health, we want wealth, we all want to be, you know, millionaires. Right. But is there maybe the higher self, does that have a role in that? Like our higher self might want us to be where we are?
Yeah, I love that. That's a great question. I do believe that we've come here to experience growth in our spiritual, spirit experience. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for example, my husband's death, I truly believe that he and I signed up for this. I always imagine that we're up in heaven before we come down here. We have a checklist. Like, what do you want to experience in this lifetime? You know? Mm-hmm. And so you go through and you check like, oh yeah, I want to experience losing a husband at a young age, you know, and all this stuff. And he's like, okay, I'll do that for you. You know, let's do this together. So, I do believe that our higher self and that our experience here is to go through those ups and downs. Again, you don't even know if you're up if you've never experienced a down.
Right.
And as hard as it is to lose a loved one, you know, I also believe you and I are both in this, the Soulphone project, which they will talk about in a minute, but mm-hmm. I do believe that, you know, we don't ever die. We're just in another realm. And so that's the exciting part, is that we're really here to embrace this physical 3D experience and to make the most of it. Yeah. And of course there's going to be highs and lows, but it's just how you navigate it.
Yeah, well, I'm part of a group called Helping Parents Heal. So I work with parents who have had children, you know, pass. So, you know, one of the things that people will always say when we talk about soul planning and stuff like that, they'll say, well, I would have never planned this. And right. I was just talking with the mother the other day, said, I would have never planned this. And I was saying to her, I think maybe from the perspective of your higher self, you would, because we do want these challenges. So I this is just a personal thing for me that the, you know, it's like, okay, how much we would, like I said, we'd all choose great stuff for ourselves, but I think sometimes our higher self is kind of like a parent saying, yeah, that's not the best thing for you right now. The best thing for you is you need to go through this experience.
I totally agree with you. And when you said that, my whole body turned chills, which to me is the universe saying truth, you know, that of course none of us would want to choose these really painful experiences. I mean, especially losing a child. I can't imagine anything harder on this earth than that. And, you know, and I've had experience. I don't know if you saw my interview with, my gosh, Boyson, I forget her first
Elizabeth.
Name. Elizabeth. Oh my God. Yeah. Elizabeth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had spoken to the South Carolina group when I, when I lived there. And, yeah, but it's so interesting when, and that's the other thing too, like when I talk about death, like it's this higher perspective, right? And like, we know there is no end. And yet, like when my son had a really, one of his best friends from college was recently hit by a car. He was just walking on the sidewalk and he was hit and killed. Oh, wow. And I was speechless. I was having a hard time, you know, helping to support my son who's lives in Philadelphia. I'm in Maui. And it just showed me once again that, you know, the physical loss of one of our dear loved ones, it's devastating. You know, even though I talk about death all the time, I get giddy about death. I mean, it's ridiculous, right?
Yeah, I know.
Do you know what I mean?
I do. Yes. People think we're weird, but I do.
Right. I know. And like, I work in hospice, and in fact, during my hospice training, I got really sick. I don't ever get sick. I mean, I went to sleep for a nap. I laid down for a nap again, another odd, weird nap. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up, literally my eyes were like glued shut and I was coughing. I was like, what is happening? Well, the next day spirit came to me and they said, we are giving you just a little taste of what it feels like to be laying in bed and not feeling good because you are way too excited about death and you're going to go help these hospice patients. You need to check yourself don't be bringing in your little happy sunshine. Like it's all going to be good on the other side. No, you need to just hold space and just let them be where they are at. And I was like, wow, that was a huge, beautiful lesson from spirit to really take me down a notch. Because yeah, sometimes us talking about death is like, for people that are experiencing it in the moment, it is not a happy, exciting process.
Yeah, we're both human and spirit at the same time, and we've got to navigate both worlds. And so dealing with people with grief, I can't go right to it's all going to be good, right? Yeah, we've got to, as you said earlier, we have to feel all the emotions. And you mentioned Suzanne Giesman earlier. I was at a conference with her and she was channeling Sanaya, and someone asked her about the tragedy of our children, you know, dying or passing early. I don't like the word die, transitioning earlier. And what, you know, what Sanaya said was basically everything's a matter of perspective.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hi there. I'm really excited to tell you about my latest ebook. It's 4 lessons that you can learn from the near-death experience without going through all the trouble of dying to learn them. I've been studying NDEs for several years now. I am completely convinced that not only are they 100% real, but that there's some very universal wisdom that we can get from the near-death experience. And I've distilled that down in this book into 4 short lessons. And I've also given you all the reasons why I believe that NDEs are absolutely real. So go to www.grieftogrowth.com/NDE lessons to pick it up for free. www.grief2growth.com/NDE lessons. I hope you enjoy it.
We'll get back to Grief to Growth in just a few seconds. Did you know that Brian is an author and a life coach? If you're grieving or know someone who is grieving, his book, Grief to Growth, is a best-selling, easy-to-read book that might help you or someone you know. People work with Brian as a life coach to break through barriers and live their best lives. You can find out more about Brian and what he offers at www.grieftogrowth.com, www.grieftogrowth.com, or text GROWTH, GROWTH, to 31996. If you'd like to support this podcast, visit www.patreon.com/grieftogrowth, www.patreon.com/GRIEF2GROWTH to make a financial contribution. And now back to Grief to Growth.
From the human perspective, that's a tragedy. But if we can start to really understand that they didn't die, that they transitioned, that they went home, that they're happy, that they're whole, they're still with us, then it's a different perspective. So when something happens to us and we say this is bad, it's bad from our current limited perspective. But if we can expand our perspective, we can maybe see how it's, you know, it's actually for our own good. In the case of my daughter passing, I would not be doing this if it hadn't been for Shayna's passing. And she reminds me of that all the time. Like, you know, this is because of me. This is why she's in my background whenever I do these interviews, because she never wants me to forget, you know, that this is all about her. So it's a terrible thing. It's a tragedy from my human perspective. I would give anything to have her back, but I know it was part of our plan and I know that I'll see her again. So that's the way that I view it.
That's beautiful. I know when I was doing my stage shows, that was one of the first things I would start with is, you know, my husband died and it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And people are kind of like, what did you not like him? Like, you know, it's almost like this shocking statement. And yeah. I do that purposefully because I want people to know that, you know, yeah, it was, and I say, of course, if I could have kept him here, I would have, of course I didn't want him to die. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that his death propelled me forward into this amazing experience that I would have never had on this earth if I hadn't gone through what I did. And I'm grateful for it. It took away just all of that. I mean, I was literally living that life of, you know, the white picket fence with the dog and the cat and the 2.5 kids and just everything was just so like Stepford wife or something, you know, like get me out of here. And now I feel like I'm really understanding, like, this is so exciting. And to know that we don't actually die, that we get to live full out and this is our opportunity. And that's one thing I do get when I channel passed away loved ones is they're like, oh my gosh, if I had only known that, you know, I was going to live on forever, I would have taken so many more risks and challenges. And, you know, I would have followed my dream rather than just be stuck in like a 9-to-5 job and being miserable, you mm-hmm. know, like life is too short to be miserable.
Yeah. I think that's a great point. I know Sandra Champlain talks about that all the time about like, if we really realize that we're eternal beings, then we actually can live this life more fully, which may seem kind of counterintuitive to some people, but I think it's really true that we just put things into perspective and the day-to-day issues that we have here. You and I realize everything is temporary. So whatever we're going through, it's only going to be for a certain amount of time. So I feel like I can endure anything for a certain amount of time.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. And even, you know, with the craziness that's going on right now, it's just like, wow, well, this is just so interesting, you know, rather than for me, I'm not getting caught up. I'm just trying to observe and take care of my, you know, taking care of me. What do I need to feel safe and comfortable right now? And just not, you know, it's not worth it to me to try to like figure it out or what is right or what's wrong or like, it's like, wow, I'm just going to be happy now.
Yeah. So you were talking about manifestation. I was listening to you and Golden this morning. You were talking about manifestation. Yeah. Give me an example of something that you manifested.
Oh my gosh. Well, just all these things are coming to mind right now. So here's a good one. Right after I moved to Maui, I had lost a pair of sunglasses. And so I was going to order them on Amazon because I was ordering some other things. And then I put my order in and I realized, oh shoot, I forgot to order sunglasses. So I was like, oh, well, I'll do it later. Mm-hmm. I went on down to the beach and I was just writing in my journal or whatever. And then all of a sudden I look up and there's a pair of sunglasses literally rolling up with the water right to my feet. And I'm looking around, there's nobody on the beach. So I get up and I actually, oh, so funny. They're literally laying right here. I never have my sunglasses here. Oh my God, Brian, this is crazy. So these were the sunglasses and they are Ray-Bans. They were brand new, not a scratch on them. They're now almost 3 years old. So, But yeah, they literally rolled up and I was like, wow, I was going to order those on Amazon and these came even faster, you know?
Yeah,
and
really. Really.
And they were, I looked them up. They're like a $200 pair of sunglasses. I was just going to order like a $15 pair. So I felt like the universe just wanted to, you know, show me like, oh, you're worth it. We'll give you something even better than you wanted. So yeah. And I'm seriously, I didn't plant that. I didn't even.
That's wild. Yeah.
See them laying here.
You know, it's interesting. Different people have different words for that. And I call them God winks or Easter eggs, actually, because Shane and I love to play video games. And a lot of times there's Easter eggs hidden in video games. So I call them Easter eggs. You know, these little things that kind of pop up that remind us that we're not alone, that, you know, somebody's watching out for us. And yeah, it's really cool. I think it's a really great example of something. Because when I hear that, I think of like, I want $1 million, or I want a new car or something like that. And I guess maybe we're not grateful for the little things that we're manifesting on a day-to-day basis.
Well, and I think too, just start practicing small, you know, I mean, that's the other thing is everybody's like wants that $1 million and, you know, or the car, and that can happen as well, but it's really being appreciative of things like this little tiny God winks or Easter eggs. But even, you know, I've got so many others. I mean, even meeting my second husband, David, like I had 30 days after my husband died, I took off my wedding ring and I just said, you know, God, universe, I'm ready to live. I want to meet somebody. I want somebody that will love my kids, you know, as much as I do. And, just somebody with no baggage. That was really, I didn't have a whole lot of standard. And then 4 months later, I met David, I talk about it in my book, and it was so magical. He had been home helping his father pass. His father died just 6 weeks before my husband died, and his sister had lost her husband to a heart attack. And so our whole first date was about death and dying. And I'm like, who else could I be talking to, you know, about this? And then he said he always wanted kids, but, you know, didn't ever really want to do the baby thing, but he definitely wanted to have his son named Robert because he was a golf pro and he wanted a Bobby Jones. His last name was Jones. And I was like, oh my God, my son's name is Robert. And so that was completely just took me off guard. So yeah. So we met four months after my husband died and, you know, just had an amazing marriage and until, I decided I really wanted to move to Hawaii and he didn't want to come but we're wonderful friends. You know, my spirituality just kept going in a direction and he wanted to just, you know, stay and play golf and not do that. So, but again, like, I don't look at it as a failure. I look at it as the perfect, you know, person for the right time. And, you know, now we're each on our own path doing what we love. And that's the most important thing.
Well, all those experiences in our life, everything teaches us something. So what I say is everything out of everything, something good comes, you know, whether it's whatever experience it is. I was divorced a very, very long time ago. And I remember when I met my wife that I'm married to now, she said, I really wish you hadn't been divorced. Cause she, you know, she's like, I would rather have someone that's not divorced. And I said, if I weren't divorced, I wouldn't be the person I am now because we take these lessons with us. And so we can't look at things in life as mistakes. They're all something to be learned from and something that made us, you know, into who we are today.
That's right. I love that so much because I do feel like, especially with marriages, you know, people are like, oh, it was a failure. It's like, no, it wasn't a failure. It was an experience. And as you said, it makes us who we are today. And just to be grateful again for the experiences that we gain out of everything.
Yeah. So Lisa, tell me about your book. It's The Art of Living Happy After the Loss of a Loved One.
Yes. So it's a memoir. It starts out with my husband's illness. Really, I guess the first chapter is him dying. And it was interesting because right after he died, I was working with a book coach and I had written kind of about my life up until he died. And then I had met David and we were dating and having so much fun. And I just said, I don't want to deal with the death right now. Like I put the book on the back burner. And then after about 5 years, it just was like, okay, I think it's time to do this. And so I called my book coach again and said, okay, well, let's pick this up. And she said, you know what? You've come so far since the death of your husband. I mean, that's when I, you know, quit the hedge fund and started doing stage shows and radio shows. And she's like, let's talk about your spiritual growth. And I said, okay. So that's really what it's about is, again, his death and then really what happened and how I started channeling people and doing, you know, my biggest show, I think had almost 500 people and, just, it was wild. And yet I was so, I mean, I'm not trained as a spiritual medium. So it was like, I didn't know about like holding space. And I mean, it was overwhelming when I was on that stage. I had like 2000 spirits trying to come through this way. And I had about 500 people staring at me, wanting me to connect with them that way. And I just, I got blown out of the water. Like I was in bed for 2 weeks after that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's really the book. And then I try to explain, you know, like how it unfolded and what people can do to connect with their, loved ones. I have a process called the PALS method, P-A-L-S. And, so this was really how I learned to channel, which is number one is to prepare. And this is like to do automatic handwriting. That's how I started, working on my gift.
Okay.
So you take a pad of paper and a pencil or a pen and just, you know, find a place that's quiet. You turn off all electronics and make sure you're not going to be disturbed. And then at the top of the paper, the second one is ask, and it's, dear angels, what would you like me to know? Or if it's a, you know, person you're trying to connect to, you know, just write like, dear Ian, what would you like me to know? And then listen, that's the hard one. It's the discerning. Are you actually getting information from spirit or is it just your brain? And so that's where you just take a deep breath and just write the first things that come into, you know, into your mind. And generally the way you can discern whether it's you, whether it's you or not is if it's a loving, message, it's from spirit. If it's a fear or, you know, something that, I don't know. And this is where it is, it gets difficult to try to discern what's spirit and what's, you know, what's your own brain. But if it's like, I don't know what the other word is, linear, you know, but, and sometimes the message is just as, you know, as simple as love or, you know, joy or something like that. And then it's a matter of practicing. And then, and the S is always to say thank you when you're done. Okay. But this is the way I started working with the angels. You know, dear angels, what would you like me to know today? And so for probably 2 years, every day I would do that. And it just would get more specific. And then they started using words that I've never used before. And I could start really feeling, again, that going back to the vibrational difference of, you know, feeling energy from a spiritual being versus me, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah. So anyway, so that's, I taught that too, when I would do my stage shows is helping people. Cause that's really my biggest thing. I'm really feel like I'm here to help people connect to the other side and, and guide them. And, you know, because when you tap in to the other side, to me, it's your biggest competitive advantage that you have on this earth is when you've got your team of divine beings that are there to back you up no matter what, you know, cause they're always there for you, but you got to ask for them.
Yeah. And that's a concept that's actually relatively new to me. Actually, I've studied the afterlife for over 20 years. I guess the whole idea of the, I'm reading a series of books now called The Team, which is a fantastic series of books. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
No, I'm curious.
This woman, her mother passed away and then her mother came to her and channeled these books and they're just amazing wisdom. And it, one of the concepts is, and it's called The Team. So one of the concepts is we're never alone. We're all here. We're all here on a mission as a team. And she actually starts the first book with kind of like you think of a business person going to a conference. She goes, you sit down and you prepare with your team and then you go off and you give the presentation and you come back and you review that with your team. And she's like, that's kind of what we're here on earth. We're actually not here just for ourselves. We're here for our entire team. And they're watching over us and they're guiding us and they're cheering for us, but they also share our experiences. And so it's really cool is that as a part of this team, we don't have to all go through the experiences. We can actually share them. And Natalie Sedman talks about that, like in her book also, The Application of Impossible Things, about how when she had her near-death experience, it was all these beings that were like, okay, tell us what you went through. And so I think for me, that's like really exciting. It's like, we're not really ever alone.
I love that. I love the team. I'm going to have to check it out because that's what it feels like to me, you know, and sometimes I do, I feel alone. I feel, you know, like, oh my gosh, I'm all by myself, but I'm quickly reminded that I'm not alone. And, but I like this concept. I mean, to me, that's been expanded from just even my own understanding about, you know, who's there. And it is funny because I've had some readings by people, and as soon as they see me, they're like, wow, you're like that. What was that commercial, Verizon, where the guy walked up and there was just like all these people standing behind him. And that's what people have said to me is like, you are just so, you know, surrounded by you know, beings and things. I'm like, oh, cool. Because I don't always see them or feel them, but, you know, I guess I know they're there, but I don't always call on them.
Yeah, I think it's a good concept for all of us to try to get to, and that's something that I'm personally working on. So, when I hear you say that, you say you want to help people understand that. I think that would help us tremendously. And when I'm dealing with people that are going through grief, I was talking to somebody yesterday. I said, you know, you're never alone, and they're just, their eyes just lit up. You know, saying, you know, I'm really not alone. You know, ever. And our loved ones that have gone ahead of us are still, they're still here with us. They're still cheering us on. So, I think it's a really cool thing to understand.
I think so too. And I also think sometimes, you know, when we are so deep in our grief, I know from my own personal experience, those were the times I felt more alone than, you know, other times. And I think it really almost cuts us off from that connection. I know they're still there, but it makes, for me, it made me feel like I wasn't, it's not even a matter of worthiness as much as just like, I don't know. I guess it's just that human experience, right?
Yeah, they're still there, but you can't sense them.
Yeah, because it's like you put a energetic blanket around yourself, like I'm alone, you know, and then you kind of create the experience.
Yeah, yeah, I was talking to Mark the other day, Mark Pitstick. So you know, Mark is a mutual friend of ours, and we'll talk about the cell phone in a second. But he was at a Zoom meeting, and he comes into the meeting. And there were a bunch of people in the waiting room, but he didn't realize it because he was presenting and he wasn't the host. So it's like, well, wow, nobody showed up. And then when the host opened the meeting, all these people were there, and he calls me up and he tells me the story. He's like, I'm so excited. This is such a great analogy. All these people were there. They were all waiting for me, but I just couldn't sense them.
That is amazing. I love that story especially because I'm so familiar with Zoom and I can just imagine that. Like, here you are like, wait, I'm the only one here. And then boom, you know, they're all there, just not connected.
So they're all there. They're always there, you know, behind the scenes, you know, cheering us on and dropping these little Easter eggs in front of us and sending you the glasses and stuff like that. You know, I think it's really, you know, it's pretty amazing. So let's talk about the cell phone project. I know you just joined recently. So what is the cell phone and what's your role there?
Yeah, well, it's super exciting. So I interviewed Mark Pitstick for the IABS Maui group here recently. And actually I interviewed him on my Exploring Death podcast too. Mm-hmm. But in his latest presentation, he was sharing about how they are creating a device which is able to connect to spirit on the other side and you get yes, no answers. And they've scientifically proven that they are accurate and it's really almost, again, I won't say proof per se, but it's like just statistically it's proving that there is life after death. And it's just such an exciting concept. And I know for like you and for me, people that already believe in that concept, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I know. So what is this? But it's really for the rest of the world that is maybe skeptical or whatever, that this is really going to open up, I think, their eyes to knowing that there is life after death. So, I mean, fill us in because again, I'm new to the program. So go ahead and then I'll tell you how I'm involved.
Well, what you just described, I think very well. The only thing is that right now it's not a phone. So one of the questions I get from people all the time is like, when can I buy it? What does it look like? How much is it going to cost? And right now it's not a phone. It's more of a binary switch, as you said. So we can, it'll be commercialized hopefully eventually, but right now it's really kind of a proof of concept thing. And, you know, it's interesting because you and I talk about the word proof, and Gary on the project is a strict scientist and like it never uses the word proof because proofs are only mathematical. And Gary will say, you can't even prove gravity exists. He goes to that extreme. But it's definitely some pretty severe or serious evidence. But what I find also interesting is people, when I talk to people about the afterlife, they'll say, well, there's no evidence for that. And I'm like, have your eyes been closed? And you and I know there is absolutely so much evidence that the afterlife exists. So once the papers get published and all that stuff, there will always be skeptics that will find a way to dismiss it. But I think it'll be a big step forward for people who choose to open their eyes and believe.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I mean, again, it's so exciting and it's almost daunting to imagine what is going to shift in the world when this happens. To me, it's almost like, you know, when the world was flat and suddenly, you know, it's like, oh no, it's actually round. It's like, wow, you know, like this is a whole new concept for so many people. But so I had interviewed Mark and he had talked about how he, you know, been going through his life and then suddenly he was told about the soul phone concept. And it was like, he just knew that he had to be a part of it. It was like, you know, what he had been like driving his whole entire life toward. Yeah. And when he said that on the interview, I just was like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be a part of this somehow. I don't know. But I reached out to Mark after and I said, you know, I don't know if there's anything I can do, but I'd love to help maybe promote it or, you know, fundraise for it or something. And he said, that's exactly what I was thinking if you'd be interested in that. So we just started, in fact, yesterday we videoed our first video of me interviewing him, just like 20-minute videos, just to really help people understand more in bite-sized chunks about what it is and to kind of open it up to more people to understand about it.
Yeah, that's great. Cause it is a big, kind of daunting, concept. And we have the soul phone website, which I have for a while, but it is so heavy and so intense.
Yeah,
so having bite-sized chunks, I think will help people really understand, you know, what it's about. And, I'm excited. I think in a year or so we'll have, what normal people would call proof. Gary won't let us use that word, but what normal people would call proof.
That's right. Yeah. So it's super exciting to be able to be kind of, you know, helping the forefront to, you know, come in and hear about all this.
Yeah. So tell me, you're speaking at IANS. We've mentioned IANS before, the International Association for Near Death Studies. The conference is online this year. So good news is everybody can attend no matter where you are. Bad news is we can't all get together. But it's August 14th through 16th, and it's going to be online. So what are you going to be speaking about?
Yes, so I am going to be speaking with Paula Lenz, and the title of our meeting is called Healing from Shared Death Experiences. And Paula had an experience with her brother dying, and she, you know, so she had a shared death experience, and then I'll be talking about mine. So it's kind of an interview style. I had interviewed her for my show as well, and it's really about, you know, how much we healed from the experience. You know, it was like, it opened my gifts of mediumship and just even my whole physical body changed after having this out of body experience. I feel like my DNA was changed, which I don't even know. I'm sure that, you know, I don't know what happened, but all I know is I could no longer eat McDonald's or drink like sodas anymore. Like I physically couldn't metabolize things like that. It's like I had to go to a pure diet. I had to stop drinking alcohol. I had to do all these things because I was like a completely different human being after that experience.
That happens to some people have NDEs. Yeah.
I don't know that much about that, but I think from talking to people that have had, like I said, those little puzzle pieces, I'm like, oh my God, that makes so much sense. Why that, you know, happened to me.
Yeah. That happens. They can be very become more sensitive to medications, more sensitive to electronics, you know, all kinds of things that your body just becomes more sensitive.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's exactly what's happened to me and to Paula as well. And then also she's able to communicate with spirit as well, which, you know, like I said, that was something that I hadn't been doing before, or at least I didn't know. If I was, I wasn't as aware of it as I certainly was afterwards.
Yeah. So you're speaking on the 16th, right?
On Sunday. Yep. The 16th at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And it might actually, it's right before Suzanne Giesman. I think she's the final. It's either Suzanne or Anita Morajani. Whoever is the final speaker, we're just right before them.
Okay,
so
cool.
We're excited. Yeah. We're the warm-up band.
Yeah. So I want to tell people they can find the conference at virtualconference.ians.org. So it's IANDS, so virtualconference.ians.org. And you can register, you get access to the whole thing, and you get 90 days of access to video on demand after the conference is over. So we'll let everybody know about that. And I'll be actually doing a panel there on Saturday. So Lisa, people can reach you through The Real Ones.
Yeah, they can go to therealones.com, and it's therealones.com. Mm-hmm. And they can also find us on Facebook under that same name. And they can email us at goldenandlisa@gmail.com, which is GoldenAndLisa.
It sounds great. It sounds great. Yeah. Do you have any parting thoughts?
Well, I guess the only thing that comes to mind is just to have appreciation for everything in your life, the good, the bad, the ups, the downs, and just imagine that, you know, this is your opportunity to be here in a 3D life and to embrace it as fully as possible and to follow your dreams. That's what we're here to do. And to, you know, reach out for help when you feel like you're stumbling, because there's always somebody there. And even if it's your angels, I mean, I've got chills again as I say that, you know, just call out to your angels and ask for help, or, you know, there's so much love for us here that we don't realize. And if we could just wrap ourselves in that love and that, that knowing that we are not alone, I think it can make everybody's life a little bit better.
Yeah. So if people are feeling like they want to reach out for help, they can reach out to you at The Real Ones, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Lisa, it's been really great to get to meet you. I feel like I already know you because I've been listening to your podcast for a long time. I'm glad to finally get to connect with you and have this interview. And I'm sure we'll see each other around.
Sounds good, Brian. Thank you so much. It was so much fun to chat with you.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, aloha.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the episode. I want to make it really easy for you to reach me. So just send me a text to 31996 and simply text the word growth. GROWTH. In fact, you can right now just say, "Hey Siri, send a message to 31996. And when Siri asks you what you want to send, just say growth. You can do the same thing with OK Google. Thanks a lot. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Grief to Growth. Brian hopes that you find this episode helpful and will come back for future episodes. Brian's best-selling book, Grief to Growth, Planted, Not Buried, is a great resource for anyone who is coping with grief or knows someone who is. If you enjoy the podcast and would like to support it, there are three things you can do to help. The first is to share the podcast with someone that you think it will help. The second is to go to iTunes, rate, and review the episode. The third way you can support the podcast is by becoming a patron. Head over to www.patreon.com/grief2growth. That's patreon.com/grief, the number 2, growth, and sign up to make a small monthly donation. Patrons get access to exclusive bonus content and knowledge that you are helping to spread the message of grief to growth. For more about Brian and Grief to Growth, visit www.grief2growth.com.
Hey there, if you liked this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you liked. If you didn't like this episode, come on over and talk about it. Let me know what you didn't like. Go to grieftogrowth.com/community and look for Talk About the Podcast. I'll see you there.